going on, everybody? From the College of Professional and Continuing Education, I'm Dr. Pohols Koskan with Pacing Your Future, a podcast that charts the course of today's most exciting industries and the people that help shape them. Discover the many opportunities within the numerous fields we cover and be inspired by the stories of notable individuals who have paved their own paths. And just like our name suggests, our mission is to pace ahead, be proactive, adaptable, creative, and engaged. Whether you're seeking career insights, industry trends, or are just simply inquisitive, let's pace your future together. Today, we're joined by Dr. Tom O'Brien. He's the Associate Dean at the College of Professional and Continuing Education, or CPACE, at Cal State Long Beach, and is also the Deputy Director of MedTrans Transportation Consortium. He directs the California Local Technical Assistance Program Center, or CALTAP, and previously led CPACE's Center for International Trade and Transportation. His work focuses on logistics, supply chain management, and transportation workforce. Dr. O'Brien holds a master's and PhD from USC and is an Eno and Eisenhower Transportation Fellow. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. So let's just start off with something fun. Imagine your industry is the main character in a blockbuster, because LA and why not? What's the plot and who are its main characters?
Okay, it's a great question. And look, if Die Hard can be a Christmas movie, then almost anything can be a logistics movie, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, we've already had logistics movies, but we just haven't marketed them, right? Towering Inferno, Contagion, Earthquake, those are all about failures in logistics and supply chain. But to answer your question more directly, I keep a novel on my desk at the office. It's called Precipice. And it was written by a former editor at the LA Times named Daniel Pollack in the late 1990s. And it was done in conjunction with the Council of Logistics Management as a way to sort of engage a more general audience about logistics and explain what it was. And it's the blueprint for that blockbuster you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a novel with a logistician as the key protagonist. She's essentially a detective trying to figure out where there's a breakdown in the supply chain of her family business. But it's got global intrigue and exotic places like Kauai, you know, that are part of the narrative. And there's a villain. And the villain is messing up the logistics and supply chain system. So I think it would be a perfect blueprint as long as we can get a good truck driver in there too, because every good logistics blockbuster needs a truck driver you can root for, right? And there hasn't been a great one since Convoy, I think.
Nice. It's like a mix of the technical and the paradisiacal, so it's great. Let's just get for it. As Associate Dean of CPACE, what do you see as the strengths of the College of Professional and Continuing Education? And how do these strengths service the community, the students, and its constituents?
It's another good question. And almost any continuing ed unit at a university has as one of its strengths its flexibility and its ability to be nimble. I mean, we're not only in the business, but it's actually our mandate to work with external partners, to have our pulse or our finger on the pulse of changing trends with regard to workforce development. So that's a general strength for a continuing ed unit. In Long Beach, I think our particular strength is that we do it with industry partners and governmental partners that we have a long time track record in working with. Long Beach is in many ways has a small town feel in a megalopolis. I know a lot of people think of Long Beach almost as a company town. It used to be Navy, now it's a port, or it may be healthcare. And that gives us an opportunity to clearly identify the needs of those communities. And we know all the players. And so we can be as responsive as possible. And I think that's one of the real strengths that we have at CPACE at Cal State Long Beach.
That's great. I mean, the next question I had was like, why Long Beach? And what does CPACE bring to the local community and its residents, right? And what you just painted sounded like it was an interwoven kind of community that everyone feeds off each other and kind of supports one another through job placement, career development, just a community that looks out for one another.
Yeah, and I think that extends to civic life as well. I mean, you see the same people at the summer concerts in the park, right? The same people that you're working with. Mm. The other thing, though, that's important about Long Beach is, you know, there are challenges. We're in a very expensive place to live, and there are a lot of communities that are under threat from issues like, you know, homelessness, right? Yeah. And so the work that we do is even more important in this local community, because we're in the business of providing means to sustainable jobs, to a middle class way of living that, you know, it should be afforded to everybody.
Yeah, definitely. That just reminds me of something that a former colleague of mine used to say all the time is, we lift as we climb. And I think that's very apropos to what the work that you do, but also the work that CPACE does at Cal State Long Beach for the city and for its residents. So,
yeah.
So one of the things that, obviously, we're doing a podcast right now, and, you know, it's about development, it's about career development and sharing people's passions and how they got there. So as the associate dean, could you help explain the concept of pacing your future and how it applies to students and professionals in the trade and transportation industry, and how this approach can help navigate their career paths and long-term success?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the notion of pacing your future, first and foremost, because the idea of pacing suggests it's a marathon and not a sprint, right? And that's true when it comes to workforce development. You can, you know, have that intensive period as a student in an undergraduate program or a graduate program, but you better be ready for lifelong learning and long life learning. And that's what sort of this four-part notion that includes adaptability and creativity and engagement means for the student. It's being open to change. It's being open to the idea that where you started on the path may not be where you end up, might be an entirely different path altogether. But with a start that made a lot of sense at the time. And so the idea of that, you also have to do it proactively, right? That last E, engagement, means that you can't just sit and wait for information and opportunity to come for you. You have to put yourself in the best position possible to take advantage of it. And, you know, what we tell our students is, do what you can to network. Take advantage of memberships and organizations that are free when you're a student, because that's going to lay the groundwork for that type of engagement that will translate into success down the road over the long term.
Of course. I mean, a lot of what you just said sounds like there's elements of futurism, right? And thinking ahead, thinking about your life goals, the trajectory you want to go on, right? And so I think that segues into the next discussion of like future directions and what future trends in career development does CPACE anticipate, and how will its programs evolve in preparation of having these individuals prepare for these changes?
Yeah, so I think the trends we want to observe are sort of workplace and industry and government trends, but it's also changes in trends in how education is delivered and what we have to do on our side of the equation. So for the trade and transportation sector, which I'm most familiar with, I see a blending of disciplines and areas of expertise. Getting a supply chain degree is going to be valuable at some point, but it may not be all you need to prepare yourself for success in the future.
Sure.
I think if we think about what the future transportation or worker is going to be, it's not necessarily going to be somebody who has knowledge about the transport systems. A cybersecurity expert might find themselves in the transportation arena and call themselves a transportation professional. So the first thing that I think we're going to have to be prepared to do is find ways to mix core curricula from different disciplines in maybe a more menu-driven approach that gives the students the opportunity to choose one from column A and one from column B and more direct their educational experience. We still have to provide the foundation and the core, but giving them the opportunity to add certificates to a degree program or go off and sort of do a transportation degree with a cybersecurity certificate or minor is going to make them more prepared for the future. And the other thing, I think the other trend that we're going to have to look for is an interest on the part of the student to accumulate and demonstrate their knowledge of specific skills, right? A degree tells you one thing. I have an MBA from Cal State Long Beach tells you something about your ability to get through a quality program. But employers are increasingly interested in knowing what are the core components that you learned in that program. And that's where, you know, sort of micro-credentials and digital badges become more important. And the education sector has been a little slow on the uptake to sort of respond to those employer and student demands to say, I need to have a portfolio of skills that I can share with an employer. The degree is one thing, but I need to pull apart the layers of the onion and tell them what I actually can do with it. And then the other thing that is an exciting change and opportunity is that we have a lot of students who come back to us who have acquired deep knowledge of particular areas that have come through work experience, military experience, whatever it might be, not traditional knowledge gained in the classroom. But it sets them up nicely for success if they want to complete a degree or move on to the next degree. So having specific programs and an infrastructure in place to award what we call CPL, credit for prior learning, is going to be essential for us to service a student population that frankly is dwindling in size, right? And so we're going to have to set ourselves apart from other institutions of higher education and say, we're going to meet the student where they are. And that's the biggest change that we're going to have to embrace in higher education.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I think one of the big things, working with CPACE that I've seen is that, you know, we take in and we support folks that come from different facets of life, right? And have different experiences, are at different parts of their career. And I think one of the things that you touched upon just now that's amazing is that, you know, you don't have to take the cookie cutter route, or you don't have to go to school in a certain fashion, right? You can go to work. You can, if you want to come back, you're able to have that flexibility. And I think flexibility is a key thing for a lot of our students and the people who participate in CPACE.
In addition, employers have gotten really good at telling us, right? And the message is very clear. We have our own company culture. We have our own way of doing business, and we have particular processes and skills that we want to teach.
Yeah.
We're part of this educational equation. So what you can do as an educational institution is provide as much of the foundation, the base,
sure,
that makes them a good employee. And I think that at a university, that also means making them a good citizen, like, so preparing them to be an effective worker, somebody who contributes, somebody who's responsible, somebody who is well-read, somebody who writes well.
Yeah.
Those are all things that are really important. And then in that way, the employer, whether it's a government agency or private industry, the nonprofit sector, becomes a partner with us in the long-time education of that worker. And that means that they can come back to us, right, when they're ready for the next level, which is kind of nice. And I think that's the way that education is not only going to survive, but thrive.
Yeah. I mean, and then it sounds a lot like, you know, that CPACE and the folks who work there, like, we're invested. There's an investment that we want to cultivate relationships that last lifetimes, right? And that we care for our students. We care for their successes and their well-being, and that they go through this program. We want to set them up for success for their future.
I think as the average, if there is such a thing, the average student changes, right?
Yeah.
They're not 18 to 23
of course,
anymore,
yeah,
right? Those students come with a different set of needs that maybe it's not our position as a university to address entirely, but we at least have to be aware of them,
yeah,
right? If you're a working mother, you know, single parent, working professional, active duty military, you have demands for different kinds of educational
of course,
services.
Yeah.
They have to be offered at different times. And again, maybe we can't answer all of those needs, but we can plan better and connect them to services where they can be or that make it easier for them to take part in our programs. And that's something we haven't always done a great job of,
yeah,
but that we're going to have to if we're going to stand out in a pretty crowded education marketplace?
Sure. So I think one of the things that comes to mind is how do we meeting these few folks in the middle, right? How do we adjust for them and cultivate a curriculum that creates like lifelong learning?
I mean, there's some basic things we can do, and it's not easy for a university to change, right? And it takes more resources to provide counseling support or advising support off the traditional 9-to-5 calendar. But we have to start there, right? We have to make advisement and services available after 5 p.m. Sure. or on the weekends. And that's where I think we start. The other thing, though, that we are already doing is providing a forum for an exchange that often happens only on our campus that we can expand to include the community and future students, right? If we're holding town halls or conferences, right? And if we're only talking to ourselves as an education or a Cal State Long Beach community, we're really not doing our job. Yeah. But opening those opportunities up to potential students in the community helps us build the audience for new programs we want to develop.
Of course. Yeah, it's fascinating. So, you know, we talk about lifelong learning and how we're trying to prepare our students for that, and we're trying to prepare folks who want to participate in CPACE. Do you think lifelong learning is crucial to the industries that work alongside CPACE?
It's essential to all industries these days.
Okay.
Partly because you can learn the core of your business, right? If you're in supply chain, it's pricing and economics, but it's also the institutional issues, the impact of regulatory measures. But those are ever-changing.
Yeah.
And the impact of new technologies is going to change. If you were studying IT, you know, 15 years ago, it's going to be vastly different than the types of ITs that are going to be impacting the industry now.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared for those refresher courses that allow you to explore what AI means, right? The internet's impact, right?
And
on helping to standardize communications and information flows across supply chains, you know, across global boundaries was one thing. But the impact of artificial intelligence and blockchain and digital twinning is something else altogether. So you've got to be prepared to go and add to your core set of skills on a regular basis just to remain effective on the job. But the other thing, too, is so often, whatever it is, again, it's whether in, I'm thinking about Long Beach, so healthcare and trade and transportation as being sort of two core areas, or bio manufacturing. Very often, the greatest impacts to the industry, the greatest shocks to the system, come from something that's external to that system. It could come from regulatory environments. It could come from a natural disaster. It could be the change in a political administration, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to be open to understanding and the state of the art in an analysis of those impacts so you can better prepare for the ones that are coming your way down the road.
Yeah. I wanted to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, just so our listeners can have a better sense of what is available to them and what they can receive at the end. You mentioned micro-credentials and digital badges. If you can just go into that and tell us.
Sure, right? So there's, you know, we start with what a traditional degree program is, right? I think everybody understands that. It's a bachelor, it's a master's, it's an accumulated set of knowledge and skills that you acquire over a longer period of time, right? A certificate is sort of a smaller bite at the apple, right? You're taking sort of a discrete set of knowledge, skills, or abilities that may be connected to that broader degree, right? And you take a series of courses, something short of a degree, and that adds up to a certificate, right? A micro-credential is even a smaller bite at that apple, as it were. It's looking at individual skills, abilities, knowledge sets that could add up to a certificate or a degree program, but that allow you to demonstrate, like, I know something about this topic, right? Or I've been able to, you know, effectively complete a series of tests that prove that I know how to use a pivot table,
yeah.
right, in Excel. As far as I know, there's not an undergraduate degree in Excel. There's probably a certificate in Excel,
yeah.
right? But that knowledge of pivot tables is at a small level something that's really useful to an employer, and that could be turned into a micro-credential, whether you've spent one day or 2 days or a week learning the skill set. The digital badge is the virtual manifestation of your knowledge. It's something that you can post on LinkedIn, share with an employer. It becomes part of your digital portfolio that says, here's what I learned, right? It might be color-coded. It might have a particular shape so that it speaks to the needs of a particular industry or a particular employer. So, you know, the knowledge is accumulated at different stages, right? The micro-credential, the certificate, the degree. And the badge is the way you communicate your commitment to learning about that in a way that speaks to an employer.
Nice. You mentioned Excel and pivot tables, and just humorously on a side note, I actually was going through our course, the courses that we provide, and I saw my partner. I was like, maybe I should take one of these courses because Excel has been the bane of my existence for a while.
It is the single most requested skill set by employers I've talked to across the board. And I'm happy to say, as somebody who studied the humanities, good writing and communications also comes up there, because not everybody has the skill, and there's still a lot of business that's done on a handshake and an ability to communicate and follow through. So if you can write effectively, communicate effectively, and do a pivot table, you're golden.
And it's true. I mean, like, I am professionally trained in research for my PhD, but then I noticed that when I came outside of academia, pivot tables, Excel, I was just surrounded by them all the time. And, you know, you just have to get up on the horse and drive it, you know. And so Excel is quite important in today's market. So another question I had was, in terms of professional development opportunities, how does CPACE serve as a pipeline to these opportunities? What diverse programs does the college offer to meet current career advancements, including alternative credentials like certificates and micro credentials, which we mentioned, as well as long-term growth through degree programs?
Yeah, so CPACE is in the business of what we would call sort of self-support programs, right? But they're all pathways to something else, right? So it might be a degree program that can't be met through traditional state support, state services, or has to be offered in a cohort-based way. So we partner with an academic institution to help promote and get people in the door, sure. right? So in that way, CPACE is a pathway to a traditional degree program.
Yeah.
And it could be in social work, it could be in business, it could be in supply chain, whatever it might be. But on the non-credit side, right, what we do is help connect people with things like micro-credentials and digital badging via areas where we know that there's a demand for employment. Because we're a self-support unit, if there wasn't a demand, we couldn't offer the programs. So by having the certificates and the professional designations and the micro-credentials, we're already providing a service. But what we can do as a partner in the university is help bridge that micro-credential, that non-credit badge, to a degree program if that's where the demand is, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that we've researched in our college is how students use CPACE as a pathway to a degree program. And it turns out there are a number of different ways. You know, we have students in our global logistics professional program who learn they really like the industry and that their career opportunities would be enhanced by getting an undergraduate degree in supply chain or, you know, a graduate degree in information systems. So they're using a CPACE certificate program as a pathway to a degree program. And it's a great combination of sort of nuts and bolts operational knowledge with the more applied analytical knowledge. That happens in human resource management, as an example. But it's also a pathway for our international students, some of whom are building an interest in a specific area while they're building their language skills. And CPACE programs help them do that, right? They feel confident, they meet the minimum threshold for language. And then that allows them to apply for a program on our campus in a traditional degree program. So going back to that original comment I made about sort of more flexibly designed and offered programs helps our university and academic partners, right? Because we help introduce students to Cal State Long Beach before they're admitted into a degree program.
Nice.
We're often that first line, that face of the college. And that's a great thing to be, because Cal State Long Beach is a wonderful place to study and to learn and to live.
That's great. I think one of the key things that you just mentioned was the fact that we have international students and that our curriculum and that our services are not just offered to those who just around Long Beach or in the United States, and that we expand our borders, right? So I think something important to know is that we are open to a lot of different people from different facets of life. So,
yeah, and that's the exciting, I mean, it's all exciting, right?
Yeah.
What we do. But that's particularly exciting to me because in the area of trade and transportation, if we're not allowing our students to engage with people from a wide set of backgrounds, we're not preparing them for success in global trade. Helping them understand languages, helping them understand how business works in different parts of the world, they're not going to be as successful. So the international students who are on our campus and who are working side by side and studying side by side with domestic students is, in my opinion, what a university should be doing.
Definitely. I mean, I think, and that speaks to the industry, our industry partners as well, like who are global leaders, like the Port of Long Beach, Biocom, right? And I think with next week, when we have Dr. Noel Hasagaba, the Chief Operating Officer of the Port of Long Beach, come and conduct a speaker series for our students and those who participate in CPACE, I think that just speaks well to the work that we do and the work that and the relationships we cultivate with the community and those beyond, right?
Yeah, and there's no, I'm happy to say there's no better testament, I think, to the work we do and should do, is that we have industry support in terms of scholarships for our students.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about professional certificate students, not students in degree programs. They need support as well, but very often students in the non-credit programs can't tap into the same resources as students in degree programs have. There just aren't as many scholarship opportunities. And the commitment of this trade and transportation sector to education is amazing, right? So we've got scholarship money that goes to students who want to study logistics via the certificate program. And the fact that, Dr. Hasagaba is willing to come and talk to the students demonstrates his commitment and the commitment of the entire Port of Long Beach. It comes from the top down to education. And, Mario Cordero, the CEO, graduate of our institution, believer in education, that makes this relationship even stronger and to the benefit of all of us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, one thing that may be useful for our listeners and our potential and prospect students, are there any limitations or do we have any prerequisites for those who can apply for scholarships?
Yeah, so on the non-credit side, no. The good news is that if you're committed and you demonstrate that commitment, there are resources that make it possible for you to take a certificate program. Obviously, in degree programs, there are more criteria, right? Understandably so. But it's the idea of making opportunity available to everyone. But, no, in fact, a more non-traditional background may stand out with the scholarship review committee for the logistics program, right? If you're not a a scholar by traditional definitions, but you've worked in the trenches in logistics, or you've had a background that demonstrates you've had to show initiative and you've been resourceful. That's going to stand out to an employer who sees a lot of people come through the door, and that's going to make you stand out in the same way for a scholarship application. We have some amazing success stories of people whose lives have been changed just by having access to the knowledge and the expertise that comes through our programs. And these are people who, you know, may have moved up the ranks in a trucking company, or who have sort of taken a leap of faith and joined the industry after losing a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
And those are the stories we want to tell.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the key reasons why this podcast was birthed, to tell stories, right? And so it's just talking about stories of impact, talking about everyday lives who have been changed and impacted by the different programs that CPACE offers, and how people have bettered their lives, how they've seen the world in different ways. And so one of the questions we had that to you, and thinking about this new initiative of the podcast as well as the speaker series that we have, why is storytelling so important in helping students learn about careers, especially those in demand for the future?
Well, I think part of our mission as a university is to make opportunities available to the community that we serve, particularly as a Cal State institution, right? And our experience, right, working with industry professionals and from, you know, 28 years of doing this, is that a lot of students and their families and the people who help them make decisions about where to go after high school, they're not aware of the range of opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to the trade and transportation sector. People think about truck driving, which is a noble profession, right? It is the truck driver is essential to the supply chain. We found that out during COVID. But if you're an economist, or you're a policy expert, or you're an IT person, there's a home for you in trade and transportation. Your skills are needed. And so letting students know at the high school level, at the grade school level, is critical to our mission. First of all, it helps feed the pipeline, right? If a student knows there's opportunities in this when they're making decisions at the middle school to show up to class on time and to develop good study habits, that opportunity is going to be there for them when they graduate high school, and they connect those good practices with content-specific knowledge. So part of what we do, because normally we've been sort of focused on the career preparation. Students come to us, and we teach them something. We're not doing ourselves any favors if we don't reach back out to the middle school and high school and help them with the career awareness portion of it. The career awareness, the preparedness, and the preparation have to follow. They have to occur simultaneously as well, but you have to start with the awareness of what's possible. And opening up students' eyes to the possibility, including getting them on campus so they can, and having them connect with working professionals, can change lives and help them think about what they want to do in the future. And then our role is to help prepare them to be successful wherever they land.
Definitely. And you mentioned just now that, you know, awareness for middle schoolers and high schoolers, you know, and early development in these programs. Can you go into detail about those?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of really good programs now that didn't exist 20 years ago that engage the university with school districts in their backyard.
Yeah.
Right. There are increased opportunities for dual enrollment, right? So where high school students can take a college level course on their campus, right? Maybe taught by a community college or university instructor. We have what I think is a unique and successful program with the Port of Long Beach and Long Beach Unified School District that takes a pathway in logistics and finds a particular role for the port as industry partner and the university as a partner to the school district to help prepare students for success in the future. For us at the university, that role is coordinating industry engagement. It's helping prepare teachers who didn't sign up to become logistics experts when they got their teaching credential,
yeah,
but who, with the knowledge of how logistics works, can infuse it into their lessons in the classroom and make things even more exciting for the students. And we also help with them in designing, you know, capstone projects and curricular materials. And it's been a very successful partnership, you know, driven by the port, driven by the school district with Cal State Long Beach as a partner. And I think that that's sort of a model that's it's ideal for Long Beach, right? Because we talked about it being a small town in a big city, even though it's a big city. And this is a community-driven approach. It's the community's employer, it's the community's teachers and students, and it's the community's university with a mission to serve the people who are in our community. So those K through 12 opportunities are essential. And then the great thing I love that sort of closes the circle on this is that those scholarship opportunities we talked about, right, that come from industry are made available to graduates of the high school program. So if they want to develop their knowledge and abilities in logistics and get a micro credential, as we talked about, and a digital badge, they will have resources to come take our logistics program while they're pursuing an undergraduate degree program at whatever institution they choose to do so. It's that maximum flexibility that allows the student to get what they need to succeed and for us to meet them where they are.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to end this great session with you, Dr. O'Brien, we were talking about elementary school, middle school, high schoolers, and folks who are professionals already, and how we reach out to all these different people and, like, you know, try to meet them where they are and say that, like you said, there's a home for you. And I think that's important, that there's space for you, and we start at any age and at any kind of space in life where you are, just to say that you can advance, you can dream of another reality is possible for you, right? And that there is still time. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I think that's a good closing message, right? Is that I think if we think differently about what it means to graduate.
Yeah.
Graduation, the term we use is commencement, right? Which sort of is a beginning, and it's a new beginning. And if we think about the idea that when we graduate, we engage with our students in a way that keeps them informed about what we do, the new programs we offer, so that they're excited about looking to us for new opportunities when they're ready.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll add is that the service to community means doing the same thing for the people in their lives who help them make decisions, right? So that we're making sure that the messaging goes out to parents, right? To school counselors, to Boys and Girls Club directors, to people in faith-based communities where, you know, wherever our communities look to for guidance and direction, we want to equip them with as much knowledge as possible to say, we're your home institution. We're your home university.
Yeah.
As you're making a decision together as a family for the future of what this of this student in your life, look to us as an option. We're going to be here for you whenever you're ready for us.
That's amazing. An inspiring note to end on. Thank you, Dr. O'Brien, for joining us. And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to Pacing Your Future.
We hope today's installment has inspired you and provided valuable insights into the dynamic world of industry and innovation. Stay tuned with us for more stories, opportunities, and expert advice to help you navigate and shape your future. Until next time, keep pacing your future with confidence and curiosity.